This interview was pre-recorded, and we are not taking calls at this time. I'm here this morning with Keith Thomas Walker, a graduate of Texas Wesleyan University, where he earned a bachelor's degree in English. He lives in Fort Worth, Texas, with his wife and two children. At last count, Keith Thomas Walker was the author of 10 published books. I emphasize published because he has a sizable unpublished repertoire. He's been writing since the fourth grade and obviously has had lifelong aspirations for the written word. He currently writes romantic suspense and urban fiction. Keith insists that he does not write street fiction, and that's a point we'll discuss later on. But I have read two of his latest books, Jewel and the Dapper Dan and Harlem, and both are phenomenal reads, and they have some very dynamic female characters. When I met Keith at the Romance Slam Jam in April in Little Rock, I noticed Keith was doing a very brisk business at his signing table. In fact, he was doing better business than some of the older established romance writers. So I was curious, and I read Jewel and the Dapper Dan, and it became clear why he was so popular. Keith, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for that awesome introduction. Wow. I got to look this interview up. I got to see that again.
Okay. Well, it'll be published, and you can download it.
Okay.
First, Keith, let's give our listeners a sense of what you write. I think the titles alone are very revealing. So give me a rundown of some of your books.
The first book I wrote was Fixin' Tyrone. That was a romance novel based on a guy named Tyrone who was getting out of prison, and he wanted to reestablish a relationship with the mother of his children. It was written 100% from her perspective. Her name is Mia, and she wanted absolutely nothing to do with Tyrone initially. Tyrone was pretty much a cause of a lot of troubles in her life, and he went to prison and left her with a child, and she pretty much moved on from those type of individuals. So the title for that one comes into play with the idea of fixing a man. Is it possible to fix a man? And that's the that was the overall theme of that book. Could Mia help Tyrone become the man she needed him to be, if she were to take him seriously to begin with? I don't want to spoil the ending. And then I wrote my second book was How to Kill Your Husband. And a lot of that title is actually, it could go both ways. Some women are excited to see it, and some women are actually turned off by it. They tell me, oh, I don't want to kill my husband, you know, things like that. And that's a shame, because that's an excellent book. It's about a woman who's been married for 36 years, and she suspects, I'm sorry, 16 years, and she suspects her husband is cheating on her. So she gets with her friends, because she has two great friends in the book, and they try to figure out the mystery. They do a lot of detective work. Her friends are what really drives the book, so they're hilarious, and they're really in her corner for this. And I won't spoil the ending if she killed her husband or not.
Please make it clear that this is not a how-to book.
No, it's not a how-to book, and I think that's what confuses some of the readers who are turned off by the title, because they think that I'm going to give an instructional manual of how to go about killing your husband, when it's not that type of story at all. It's a really heartfelt story. It was marketed as a romance, but technically it's not a romance novel, although she does have another love interest in the story. And, you know, I've written a lot of books, A Good Dude, Riding the Corporate Ladder, Blow by Blow, The Finley Sisters, Oath of Romance, Jewel, The Dapper Dan, and Harlot, and Drippin' Chocolate's coming in November.
Okay, yeah, that Drippin' Chocolate is the one I'm waiting for. I want to go back a second. Are you independently published, or are you under contract? Because I noticed you market under the imprint Keith Thomas Books, is it?
Well, my website is Walker
yeah.
Books. And that's been the website I had when I published my first book. My first six books from Fixin' Tyrone through Harlot were actually published by a publishing company, Genesis
okay.
Press. And I did, after that sixth book, I learned a lot about the industry, and I felt I could take it on my own. So, yeah, the rest of my books are published by Keith Walker Books, which is now a company and a publishing company. I print my own books. I do the whole nine yards.
Oh, great. It sounds like you're doing well also.
Duet on the Deaf Man was the first release from Keith Walker Books, and that was a book that my publisher wasn't interested in because of the violent aspects to it. And I always knew that that was a great book because a lot of my readers who look at my rough drafts, that was one of their favorites. And there was actually about half of them who considered that one their favorite. So I always knew Jewel and the Dapper Dan had to get published. So
well, of the two I have read, Jewel and the Dapper Dan is my favorite.
Yeah, and I love it.
Yeah. Okay. And I want to talk about the Jewel, and I also want to talk about Shayla, who is the lead character in Harlot.
Okay.
I'm just amazed at how you draw these true to form women. I mean, they're clearly identifiable. They have strong characters. And while Jewel is more like a gangster moll, Shayla is like a preacher's kid. And, but Shayla kind of turns me off because I see her more as a misogynist, you know. She impresses me as a woman who hates men and she uses men, you know.
Yeah, Shayla's definitely an unlikable character initially and pretty much throughout the book. Whether she gets redeemed at the end, I guess that's up to the reader to decide. But that's a challenge, writing about a character that's not necessarily likable for the reader or someone the reader can possibly relate to. Because Shayla has issues, and they stem from her past being a preacher's daughter, but also from the affair she witnessed her father having. So Shayla, she is misogynistic. Well, is that the same for men and women?
Well, men are misogynists. Women are misandrists.
Okay. Well, yeah, she definitely she has issues with men, and she takes it out on quite a few of them. She feels like she's got a vendetta against a particular type of men in particular. And, yeah, she goes through the whole book trying to destroy these men. And from a man's point of view, I can definitely see how that could be a troubling read.
Yeah, she's an evil character, unlike Jewel.
And that's the thing, because Jewel is actually the worst of the two if you look at their lifestyle.
Right.
And yet, the much like more likable character.
Yeah, she's the more evil one, I guess.
Well, she didn't want to be evil. But yeah, she did do a lot of evil things. But she had that conflict. I think that was the thing that helped you well, because she really didn't. Toward the end, after she had her revelation, she didn't want to be the same person she was. She actually had that conversation with Daniel that she didn't want to be evil. And he said that, well, that's what we are. And that didn't sit right with her. So, yeah, Jewel, she definitely had redeeming characteristics.
So you write from a woman's perspective with a woman's voice.
Generally, I do switch it up now and then. With Blow by Blow, I think it was mostly from the woman's perspective, but the main character, he was a boxer, and I did a few scenes and chapters strictly from his perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And with Drippin' Chocolate, it's pretty much half and half. So as I'm not sure why, but as I progressed as a writer, I decided that more points of view would be a better thing.
Well, I'm curious because your depictions are so faithful, and so I figure you must be a keen observer of women.
That's definitely the truth. I always, at all times, women are they're just interesting creatures. You I pay attention when they walk in the room. They demand attention and respect, and me, I'm just an observer, period. I always watch, and I always listen more than I talk, so, yeah, I pick up on a lot.
Yeah. I just thought that was very interesting. And having met you, and the first thing I noticed about you, that you were, you sort of, you stand back, you're an observer, you're very unassuming, so, which really surprised me when I started reading your book, and I said, "Oh, well, you know, there's a lot going on in this dude's head." You know,
at work a lot because I work at a hospital and I talk to a lot of people all the time. And when I started writing, they were totally shocked at the fact that I was writing, period, and also at what they were reading, because they never saw it in me. But I, you know, I'm not one to go around boasting. I just play my part, listen, observe. And when it comes time, though, when it comes time for me to interact with my readers, I really do shine when those moments come.
Not only do you shine with your writers, but I also know you have like two different personalities. There's a guy who stands back and watches, and I picked up on your YouTube channel that you can be pretty silly.
Yeah, I can be.
You're dancing with your mother. I saw that one. And then there's one where you're doing poetry. So I said, well, you know, you're not all serious business. There are a lot of different facets to your own personality.
I would say for the most part, of at least 80% of the time, I am serious business. But when that 20% comes, I let my hair down all the way. So, yeah. But for the most part, yeah, I am pretty serious.
Okay, and you are a romance writer. What drew you to that genre? I mean, I have my reasons why I kind of like to write in that genre, because to me, that's where the money is, you know.
Right.
That's what...
It wasn't a decision I made initially, because when I first started writing, I just wanted to write urban fiction and not street lit. Definitely not street lit, but just an urban fiction book, and kind of like Walter Mosley and Walter Dean Myers and people like that. But that stuff was hard to get out the door. And I'd only written one book, but I found it hard to publish it. And I started writing short stories after that, because urban fiction was the only thing I had written. So I wrote a series of short stories just trying to broaden my horizon. And one of the short stories I wrote was a romance story. And I let a lot of people read these stories. And the romance story was the one that drew the most attention. And quite a few people encouraged me to write a romance novel. And even though I never considered it, I wrote Fixin' Tyrone, and it just took off from there. I sent it to publishers, and immediately they were wanting the book. So I knew I'd hit on something there. But the thing I always stress is, even though I do write romance novels, there's still a lot of things I want to say. I have a voice, and there's a lot of social things I want to bring up. So I still found a way to bring these things into the romance novel. So I don't feel like I'm compromising my goals, because I'm still doing the things I want to do. But I'm also doing it within the parameters of a love story. So that works for me.
Yeah, well, I do think you write with a message. But now I want to get to that point about street bit. And you say you don't write street bit, but you do write urban fiction. Now,
right.
According to Wikipedia, those two are synonymous. But I think you see a gradation in the meaning. And
I do, and it's not that I have anything against street lit or writers who write street lit. I just don't want to be put in that category. And I guess the reasons for that would be the flaws that I find in this street lit. It's kind of a touchy subject, because if I go into this, it'll come out, well, he doesn't like street lit, and he doesn't like street lit authors. But it's not all of them. It's just some of them.
I see what you're saying, and that's what I would like to make clear, that street lit and urban fiction are not synonymous. Street lit is usually, it lacks the quality that you find in urban writers. The street lit is usually produced by an untrained writer. You know,
the thing that happens with street lit is that almost the majority of them don't pay attention to certain things.
Well, it glorifies the wrong things.
It glorifies violence for sure. It glorifies the sex. The sex isn't romantic. It's just sex. They don't do a lot of character development. They don't do a lot of plot. I mean, it's just, here's what I rationalize it at. Or here's what I compare it to. This is if women are in a beauty shop, and one woman comes in and says, girl, you should come outside. This girl's dragging this other girl down the street. She done slept with her baby mama, and they over here fighting, blah, blah, blah. Every woman in the beauty shop would obviously be interested in that, and most of them would go outside to see it. that's kind of what street lit is. It's interesting. There's no doubt about it. And it's violent and it's vulgar and it's all these things that automatically draws your attention, but it's not necessarily good writing. And that's right. Why I don't want to be characterized as that.
And that's the point I wanted to clarify. It's like the difference between reading the New York Daily News and the New York Times. I say
right.
Street lit lacks in redeeming value.
But, yeah, it totally does.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your first book, Colored Rags. I read about in one interview that you have a very interesting story about that and how that led to your coming published.
Well, Colored Rags, the first time I wrote that book, I was in college. And I graduated college in 2000, and I believe I wrote that 2 years before graduation. So I wrote that a long time ago. And at the time, I was doing a lot of poetry. I was mainly a stand-up poet. I went to poetry slams, and I was really successful with it. But poetry is one of those fields where you can't really get published and make a living doing it. So I decided to go ahead and write books because even before the poetry, I'd always written short stories and, you know, things of that nature. All through high school, I won so many contests for writing. So I decided to write my book, and I wrote it about the things I was familiar with, which at the time was bad neighborhood, hoodlums, gang violence, you know, drugs, murders, all of that. So I wrote the book Colored Rags, and it was about an individual. It was kind of mirroring things I'd went through. So it was about a kid that was basically just trying to go to college and be something, but the summer before college, he gets caught up in a lot of gang violence. And that book, I passed around to a lot of people. Everyone loved it, but I couldn't get it published. I can't tell you how many rejection letters I got for it, and it hurt my feelings because I felt like it was a good book. I knew I was a good writer, but I couldn't get anywhere with that book. So, I don't know, that depression kind of just took on a depression towards writing in general, and I didn't try to write another book or story for 9 years until I wrote Fixing Tyrone, and it was a long time. And what I learned from that was I was making a mistake in thinking that just because publishers didn't like this book didn't mean necessarily that I couldn't make it as a writer. It meant just what it said. Publishers didn't like this book. So when I started writing again, there was no way I was going to stop like I did before. So I wrote Fixing Tyrone. As soon as I sent it out, I started another book. As soon as I sent that one out, I started another book. And I just got into this pattern of writing that was going to be totally opposite of what I did before. In the first year I started writing again, I wrote 4 books. The year after that, I wrote 5 books. And the year after that, I wrote 4 again. So I was literally on a roll. And publishers only going to publish 2 books a year, regardless of what you write. So that's why I have a huge backlog of books. And that's why, now that I'm independent, I could put out 4 books a year, easy. And I could do that for 2 years and not even write another book.
Well, now you can focus on marketing and getting the word
right out
there. Because it seems to me that you're probably more popular in your region than in the South and on the West side of the nation.
The popularity is a thing that I'm still struggling with. It's like the readers who do read me, they you know, they're very vocal about how much they appreciate it and like the writing. But I haven't reached the success I haven't had a bestseller, for instance. So I'm still
trying to succeed. Well, that was my next question and the suggestion that you go for the Essence bestseller list. And there's a way to go about that. But I'll
share tips on it.
Well, yeah, okay, because we'll discuss that.
I'm thinking Drip and Doctor is going to be the one because Drip and Doctor is my first full-fledged romance that I'm releasing under my own company. So this is almost a make it or break it type of deal. Not that I'm going to wallow if it doesn't make it, but I really think Drip and Chocolate is going to be the one.
Well, yeah, I tell you, the title just sounds intriguing.
Oh, yeah, the title's unresistible. And the thing about that is this book is far less sexual than the title would make it sound, and I'm not going to spread that word because women want it to be highly sexual, but it's a good book. It's about a guy named Charles. He got out of prison and got into stripping just as a means to an end. And he meets a woman who's got children, and they have a serious love for each other. And he's trying to do right, so that's where the conflict comes in.
And what I like about the image of your male characters, they're always these tall, dark, handsome men who the women seem to fall for. You know?
Yeah, no offense to you, but those yellow boys got too much shine. They're too much shine. It's time for the dark man like me to come back.
Wait. And I sense that. I knew what you were doing, so and I applaud your efforts. So, Keith, tell me what's up next. I think you're currently promoting Harlot.
I'm promoting Harlot, but I'm also promoting my short story collection, because that short story collection that I told you about is coming out in October.
Okay.
And I'm having a contest where I'm going to allow anybody who wins to have their story published with mine. That's going to be an e-book that I'm going to release for 99 cents, and it's 60,000 words, so that's a full-fledged book, basically. So I'm going to release it for 99 cents. I'm still going to have the paperback. My short story collection is not romance, so that's the only thing that may pull it down a little bit. But they're great stories, and it's going to be a great price, so we'll see how that works out. And after that, Dripping Chocolate.
Okay, you heard it, folks. Dripping Chocolate. Look for it. To learn more about Keith, you can look him up at KeithWalkerBooks.com. Is that right, Keith?
Yes, everything Keith Walker is on that site.
Okay. Well, thank you, Keith. I wish we could go on and on, but I really enjoyed talking to you, and it's been a pleasure. I haven't quite finished Harlot yet, but it's
the ending is awesome. Still like it.
Okay, the Jewel right now is still my favorite. So anyway, there you have it, Keith Walker, Keith Thomas Walker. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks for having me.
All right, goodbye.